Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. Too bad for radio and too good looking for television. And now, here they are, America's last best hope to make the internet safe for absolutely no one. Two people who will do pretty much anything for a pizza. Your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Welcome to the 98th Mike and Judy Show. This week, instead of Mike Edison, who's off draining Italy of its wine resources still, 4 weeks later, we have Jenny Miller with us. Hey, Jenny, thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Jenny is a fantastic film writer for Bust, Film.com. What's the other one?
Movie Phone.
Which is good because we're joined also by Matthew Vera, who runs Nighthawk Cinema. Thanks for coming, Matthew.
Hi, Judy. Thanks for having me.
Matthew, I've been living in Williamsburg since like 1994, and I have not been a fan of a lot of the gentrification things, like the glass towers, the 24/7 sushi availability, the strollers. But Nighthawk and the Ferry and Maison Premier with their Dollar Oyster Happy Hour are like my three favorite things of gentrification. So thank you.
That's great to hear. Thanks. We're really happy to be a part of the neighborhood. And, it's a huge dead zone for film for years and years after the Commodore closed on Broadway.
Right, where you could smoke crack,
right, yeah,
dodge rats, bring in McDonald's Happy Meals.
Exactly. So, we're glad to bring some film back to the neighborhood.
I mean, there are other theaters. There's Indie Screen, which I haven't checked out yet because, for various reasons, nothing bad about them. I'm sure they're great. And then there's the awful new Multiplex, which searches your bags before you go in.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine? I went to see Amour, and I had, seriously, a chocolate croissant in my bag, and the guy took it out and checked it till the end of the movie.
If you need, like, of all things, you need something to eat during Amour, or else you will lose all will to live.
Or weapons. Maybe they were checking for a gun.
No, they check for razors to flip my...
Exactly.
That was the most depressing movie I've ever seen, and I can't imagine what you would... Because Nighthawk pairs meals and booze with the movies they're showing, like at Bling Ring, you had the Paris Hilton Stilton Club.
Right, yeah.
What would you even do? Like a soup of despair for Amour?
Yeah, who knows? Exactly. Maybe a puffer fish soup. Raw.
Yeah, I skipped that one.
Oh, God, it was the most depressing movie I've ever seen. But so you guys, like, for some reason, booze and movies, you can bring a sippy cup of wine into a Broadway show, but you weren't allowed to drink and watch movies. Why do you think this was?
Well, I was drinking and watching movies for years.
Well, yeah.
I would bring in my flask. But there was when I started thinking about doing a kind of a boutique movie theater in New York, I started doing some research, and there was a law on the books from the Prohibition era out of nowhere. It really didn't relate to anything around it, and it basically said that you can't serve alcohol in a motion picture theater in New York State. So it was very curious. No one knew anything about it. And I was lucky enough to meet somebody that knew a lobbyist in Albany who really thought that this law was long overdue to be overturned. And he got really behind us. And we got a great consensus from a bunch of different lawmakers, too.
That it must have been a bipartisan issue.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely everybody was behind it. I mean, it's one of the best ways to actually save some of these smaller single screen theaters in upstate and some of the smaller cities, because really you just can't run a movie theater in a traditional sense, especially a single screen. It's almost nearly impossible unless you're a nonprofit. So the way to combat that, especially for a single screen, is to infuse it with food, drink, and get people out of their houses and into the movie theater again.
And I thought when we first went the first time, I was like, oh, this is going to be kind of annoying having, waiters walk through. But first of all, you get more leg room because, they need to walk through. And those guys are like ninjas. Like, do they go through special training?
Yeah, it's like special ops training. We call them ninjas. I mean, they're not black. They are taught to, they have it down to a science where they see these movies, over and over again because they're in there over and over again. And they make notes where, like, it's the perfect time to come in and or not come in. If there's a really intense scene, they stay back and wait for that to be over. So they really do sort of, it's a science, really.
During a Baywatch-style montage.
Yeah, we'll come take your drink order. Yeah, exactly.
When did you guys open?
We opened in June 2011. Yeah.
Okay, so
two years ago, basically.
2 years ago. And yep. How many screens do you have in there? Three?
We have three screens. Some people say 2.5, but the third screen is intimate, 28 seats, but it does have, the same cinema quality projection and surround sound that all the other theaters have.
Were you always a movie fan?
Yeah, I was a huge movie fan from growing up. And I moved up here in early 2001 from Texas. And for some reason, Texas is like this crescent for like movie theater, cinema eatery kind of things. They meld food and drink and film down there quite a bit. And so when I moved up here, I loved going to the movies, but I felt like in such a world-class city like New York, it was such a stale experience here to go see a movie. The movie might have been great, but being herded in like cattle and, having to sneak in my booze and all of that, I mean, it's feeling like a second-class citizen.
I challenge you to do that at Williamsburg Cinema. I don't know where you would store that flask.
I have some suggestions.
Jenny, you're from Texas, too. Two Texans in the house. The Alamo is pretty famous down there, right? I mean,
yeah, the Draft House. I've actually never been. I grew up in Dallas, and I just haven't made my way down to Austin a whole lot. So I have had eating and drinking experiences in Dallas with movie going, but they've been, these sort of chains that were inspired by the Alamo, and it was like, great, I'm sitting in a screening of Lincoln and the seating is terrible and I'm eating like nachos or something gross, so it's definitely not a really great experience.
Nachos are totally not gross, by the way.
These nachos were terrible. The nachos seating was delicious. Terrible. It was mishigas.
I mean, you go to lots of screening rooms too. How do you think Nighthawk compares? I mean, I love going to a screening room will spoil you for anything.
Right. Well, I mean, I go to a lot of screening rooms, but I also go to, theaters that I would not otherwise go to, such as those on 42nd Street. And I would have to say, and I'm not just saying this because Matthew is here, but Nighthawk is definitely as nice as most of the screening rooms I go to, and it's not full of like cranks.
Critics.
Yes.
Well, that's good to hear. Thank you.
It is. I would say it ranks up there.
Yeah, my boyfriend's 6'5", so legroom is often an issue.
Oh, yeah.
And so we always sit in the back row, so he doesn't block half of the theater
with
his noggin. And then, you know. And also, I mean, I don't want this to be like a big plug for Nighthawk, but we're not.
That's okay.
Yeah. But another thing you do is you cater to parents so they don't have to ruin the rest of our experience.
Oh, my God.
Yes, we do. We do baby screenings every Tuesday, the early show. We just pick, well, sometimes it's hard because we have movies that maybe aren't appropriate for a baby. Like right now we have Only God Forgives and Fruitvale Station. So, but we do have the Girl Most Likely, which we've been riding with the baby parent screenings.
And that awful Frances Ha.
I enjoyed
Frances Ha.
Oh, you guys. Oh my God. I was ripping my hair out. The only thing that made that movie worthwhile was seeing Carol Kane come down the escalator as I went up after the... No, I didn't see it at night.
Oh, how could you?
Oh, it was I'm cheap because if I pay like 12 or 14 bucks for a movie, I'm going to sit through it.
You're going to make it through.
Yeah.
No matter
what. Even if I want to kill someone, like
white knuckle
500 Days of Summer.
Oh, we have radically different tastes, I guess.
Oh, Jenny, who are you?
I don't know. It's very complicated. I am a softie. I'm a softie, and I've started running out of horror movies, so it's a thing now.
Yeah, you guys don't have that many horror movies there. What are you doing to cater to the
audience? We do a lot of rep programming with horror films. Actually, this October, we're really excited about... We're doing a whole month of programming with horror films. It's the theme is Shout at the Devil.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And so, so take a look. That should be launched on our website, like, later in August. But it's... We're really excited. All four of our programmers have been involved in that one. So,
I've definitely been to the Nighthawk for, you know, VHS, different events. Like, you guys have some good horror programming.
Yeah, we have some horror film programming. I mean, that's, like, in the wheelhouse for two of our four programmers that we have. I mean, they are, like, one guy, John Woods, used to own Real Life on Bedford.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
He had two locations. So he used to own a video store. We have still a lot of his videos actually in Nighthawk on our wall, and we pulled them out.
Oh, those are great.
Yeah, he has some great, great stuff that didn't even make it over to DVD. And then Karen Coleman also is really into horror film as well as art. She's just like sort of a renaissance woman.
She's a genius.
Yeah,
I really
so
like her.
We've been lucky to nab her for our programming as well.
Yes, sorry, I was just burping from the beer. Jenny, you gotta jump right in when I do something. Let me go like,
I've been drinking the sangria, so I'm a little slow on the uptake.
One of the things that everyone loved about the Commodore and so many theaters in Manhattan is the rat population. Like, how do you keep that under control?
God.
Yeah, that's a questionable one. I mean, we're so new. We built it to be a bunker, basically.
Right.
We were worried about that,
especially
with all the food going into those auditoriums. And one of our theaters is down in the cellar. So trust me, there was a lot of forethought in the construction of this place.
Well, actually, my main concern as a movie, as someone who goes to the movies literally all the time, are bed bugs. And I can't even think about it. I don't want to think about it. I did go to a screening at one of the, you know, the chain theaters that was for media, but whatever. And I saw someone spray down the chair and put down plastic. Oh. And I was like, part of me was so embarrassed and horrified. And then part of me was like, that's a really good idea.
Get him. Yeah, get them.
Oh, it's so, it really is like a thing that I worry about.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we worry about it too, because you just, I mean, anybody can kind of come in and bring them in. It's just, it's sort of, you just have to be proactive, against that.
Vigilant.
Well, now that we've covered
vermin,
rats, bed bugs, we're going to hear a song from our engineer Joe, his band Big Ups. It's called Hard to Care.
Care when no one else does. When times I gotta grab a hold of myself.
Joe, thank you so much. We're back, and Jenny, keeping on the disgusting tip, Jenny brought up something when we were on break, just about when we were served our pizza. Why don't you tell it to the masses?
Let me share this with you all. As a fan, as you know, a member of the movie going public years and years ago, I went to go see Bones, which you all might remember was Snoop Dogg's horror movie. And
not all of us remember, but
some woman vomited in front of us, but I think because she was drunk, because it smelled of alcohol, and then sat there for the rest of the movie, and I had sort of an existential crisis, like, what kind of person vomits and just sits there for the rest of the movie? So and of course I've heard of, you know, people passing out and barfing at screenings of, like, you know, like a Serbian film or whatever, like people freak out and break their noses. I don't know. So my question is we were talking about that. And
right. Yeah. With the combination of booze and film. I mean, we've had our share of midnight vomit. But one that stands out, I mean, we launched this new midnight series called Nighthawk Nasties, where we're basically trying to, bring back a little bit of that grindhouse from New York's past and play some really intensely gory films. And I think the first one we played was the French film Inside, if you've ever seen that.
Yeah. I turned that off and I had a panic attack.
Yeah, you can't unwatch that.
Oh, my God.
And a lot of people want to. But we played another film called Family Portraits, and, you know, maybe five or six people were in the audience. It was a midnight screening, and huge guy, 6'5", in shape, was there watching it with his wife, and he got up very quickly and stormed to the theater entrance, and right when he got to the door, he simultaneously vomited and passed out at the door, where our servers had to come kind of revive him. And his wife was so appreciative of, our efforts to take care of him. And he basically, when he came to, he hadn't had a drink, didn't eat anything. He got sick from the movie. And we sort of wear that as a badge of honor now for Nighthawk Nasties.
Very nasty. Yeah.
I mean, I came close to puking during a Jodorowsky movie once, but...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't know why. I can't... Santa Sangre.
Oh, yeah. Well, it happens.
And a lot of filmmaking now is especially with the the jerky sort of camera moves as well can get you a little queasy.
Absolutely.
But I think it was the content for this one.
Oh, man.
I don't even know what that movie is about.
Well, check it out. Portrait. Check it out. We actually had the director in to introduce it. He's a great guy. So check out Family Portraits if you can.
What would you not show? Like, would you show a Serbian film?
I mean, we haven't really shaped any of those lines that we can't cross yet. So, we have another series called Nighthawk Naughties. Mm. And so we're like, oh, are we going to be, do we want to play, porn? Is Deep Throat okay? Like, we were sort of talking about the line for that. Mm-hmm. But we haven't really talked about the line for Nasties.
I saw Deep Throat at the
Spectacle, right?
Two Boots, like a really long time ago when they had the theaters and stuff in the basement. And a bunch of friends went, and, you know, we had a girlfriend and I had a good time. The other guys were a little, the guys we were with were a little embarrassed, but yeah. We were like, come on. You know.
Yeah, Spectacle, another local theater.
Which I'm really remiss in mentioning since my friend Ivan Lerner does programming there.
We're big fans of theirs, too. Mm-hmm. They played Deep Throat, and a few people from Nighthawk went over there to check it out and had a great time.
And the video store played.
Yeah, Videology as well. Which we know well. And I think they're doing a great thing by having that screening series in their shop. Yeah.
So why aren't more movie theaters like dispensing with the booze?
In New York, yeah. Well, we did. We weren't dumb about writing the law. I mean, we definitely wanted to make sure that movie theaters couldn't instantly do that, because that's obviously we worked hard to change the law. So they do have to have a full kitchen with a chef on duty.
And they have to have
table service. Yeah, it can't be just just a panini press behind the bar. So
damn it.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, we did that on purpose, but others are
so
looking
you
into
would
it.
Win Sunshine, you did it on purpose.
Sunshine's
so
getting
win.
Close, I think. They're going in front of the community board, and Alamo Draft House, as you mentioned, is coming up to New York.
Oh,
so
they are.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is to improve the movie going experience in New York, and we're all about that. So I'm excited to have more people start doing this, for sure.
Well, I mean, I would be a little worried because they're not going to be able to really do that in Manhattan unless they have a shitload of money. I know Sunshine's in Manhattan, but the amount of space to put in a kitchen and screens, like...
Yeah, it's definitely a cost of entry, yeah.
The Alamo Draft House is opening in Yonkers in August, and then there's another on the Upper West Side. I don't know the time frame for that, but...
Who's going to go to Yonkers? I guess people who live in Yonkers.
Could be an outing. Could be a night outing or something.
Nighthawk or go to Yonkers?
You know, I spent a lot of time in Yonkers in college, so.
Oh, right. You're a Sarah Lawrence gal.
Yeah.
So what do you? What movies do you... Can you tell me some of the food pairings you have coming up with the movies you have coming up?
Well, a lot of them we haven't worked out yet. We sometimes have to do that, like, week of. I mean, it's a pretty intense sort of... scenario, because we'll get a screener or we'll be able to send somebody, because sometimes the movies open in Manhattan a week before us, so we'll send somebody from our team in there and take notes. Some of my favorite, I'm trying to think of some of our favorite foods from the past, though. Come back around to me. Let me think about that.
But we were talking about directors before, and you had some pretty exciting news about a little director known as Martin Scorsese.
Yes, Martin Scorsese. Yeah, and this is a brainchild of one of our programmers. Karen Coleman was integral in this. She teamed up with Vice magazine and Eddie Moretti, who's the creative officer there, and they're pals with Martin Scorsese. So he has the Film Foundation, which he pours money into. It's a nonprofit that restores all kinds of past 35 millimeter prints of some classic films like Red Shoes. This Tuesday we've got La Dolce Vita. We've played, what else have we played? I'm drawing a blank now. But the idea behind this series, it's a monthly series on Tuesdays, once a month, where we have Vice in. They do an intro. They sometimes have a special guest do an intro. Martin Scorsese has actually recorded an intro to each of these as well.
So he hasn't made the schlep to Brooklyn?
He hasn't come out to Brooklyn yet. He hasn't come home yet, as I like to say. But he has recorded these and told us why he was so passionate about restoring each print. And a portion of those ticket sales go to the Film Foundation, too. And you get free booze afterwards. We have Larceny Whiskey is providing free booze for an hour after each of these screenings. So we're really excited about it. It's sort of our, as far as I'm concerned, our sort of pinnacle of programming so far.
One of the other things you guys do really well are the previews.
Yeah, the pre-shows. Yep. like I said, we have four programmers. One of them in particular, but two of them off and on work on the pre-shows where we just find clips, local filmmaker clips, or that submit them here and there, or we'll just go on the internet and curate a sort of a montage of our favorite clips that are inspired by the feature you're going to see. And, you know, a lot of people have come out, unfortunately, sometimes, not liking the movie, but loving the pre-show at least. And they've had a few drinks, so, you know.
They're effusive.
Yeah, exactly. They're happy with it.
Well, you said you had a riffraff preview to Spring Breakers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so Spring Breakers, which was one of my favorite movies of this year so far.
Spring Break.
Spring Break forever, bitches. Yeah, we basically, Franco sort of denies basing his character on
Liar.
Riff Raff, but it's very obvious that he did, and I think Riff Raff knows that too. But yeah, we pulled together the greatest hits of Riff Raff video wise and put them together, and we pull that one out occasionally and play it in our lobby when we're in the mood as well.
So it's like a little creative hub you have over there.
Yeah. One of the guys that really heads up the pre-show comes from an art background, and he's seriously into film as well, film preservation. So it seems like a perfect mix for him. He's taught himself Final Cut in the last 2 years, and has really come a long way.
I mean, a lot of that stuff looks like archival footage you guys have, like, dug up from old VHS tapes. Like,
yeah.
It looks really awesome.
It's amazing what's out there now, mm-hmm. too. You know, you can get your hands on almost anything these days. So it's wide open.
Where do you see Nighthawk going? Are you gonna open new places?
Yeah, we're looking. I mean, we would be stupid not to at least try, because we work so hard on that law, and we know that other people are going to be trying to do what we do as well up here. So, yeah, we're looking in other parts of Brooklyn, maybe this hood.
Or, Bushwick.
Yeah, possibly Bushwick, possibly more south in Brooklyn, and Manhattan, of course. But like you said, Manhattan's a tough one to crack, for sure.
So expensive. Like, Sunset Park would probably be affordable, and yeah. So close to Park Slope.
Yeah, that's not bad. We'll call it South Slope, right?
Yeah.
That's what they're calling it.
Just like, this is way East Williamsburg, except for now Bushwick has cachet, so they'll,
right, now
they'll cop
change
to it. So, did you have any idea when you were in school, like, that you would end up as a movie theater mogul? I know, maybe I'm stretching mogul a little.
Yeah, that's a definite stretch. I mean, honestly, I'm here representing those four programmers. You should definitely have them on
we
your
tried
show. Yeah, I know, they're busy people. They should come out. They're great, and they have an encyclopedia knowledge of film. But no, I didn't really think this was the direction at all. I was in advertising before this, of all things, and
it pays lots of people's bills.
It does. Yep. It does.
Pays bills.
So yeah,
and
I think
chef.
We just lucked out. Yeah.
I mean, your chef. I just saw him on.
What?
He's a chef on television.
That's awesome.
We do.
Your chef was on some show. Like, what's his name?
Michael Franny.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he was. What was that? Zagat was in, I think.
I did research.
Well done.
I guess it wasn't really television. It was
the interwebs. Yeah,
the interwebs.
Yeah, no, we have another series called Film Feast where we bring in outside chefs, like celebrity chefs or just well-known chefs, to collaborate with our chefs, and they pick a movie and then do an inspired prefix
right.
to the movie, and like we bring out the food at specific scenes that it was inspired by. So that's, I'm really excited about that series. It's a fun one.
That seems complicated.
It's super complicated, but we did American Psycho with Francis Derby. It was amazing. We had like an 80s hot kind of cuisine menu.
Oh, you guys are too young to remember that the first time around. Yeah. That food was awful. Talk about urchin
inspired. So small.
Inspired.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's drizzled. A sliver of urchin. I mean, we didn't have the foam back then, but yeah. it was pretty rotten. So,
yeah.
Jenny, what are you looking forward to seeing this year at Nighthawk or anywhere else that doesn't serve booze?
Gosh, my sense of when things are coming out versus when I've seen them is a little skewed, so I'm easily confused. I'm very excited to see The documentary about Dune that was picked up by Sony Pictures Classics, the Dune that was never made.
The first Dune. Yes.
That's going to be really awesome. I'm looking forward to Elysium, which is way
Me
more
too.
Mainstream.
You've seen that?
No, no. I haven't. What is it?
It
is Matt Damon and Jodie Foster and Neil Blomkamp, who did District 9.
Yeah.
There are really some clever advertising, like sort of pseudo viral, like things that are popping up, like about, you know, if you lived on the fancy rich planet that Jodie Foster and all of her people live in, you know, you wouldn't be in traffic right now or whatever. But it's, it looks really cool. I think Matt Damon's going to be all jacked up and have like some weird robotic stuff happening.
He was so great in the Liberace movie. I can't believe that did not get a theatrical release.
That was so good.
Yeah, that was amazing.
You guys should do that in a Showgirls doubleheader.
That would be so fun. Like, Showgirls is so depressing, though. I hate Showgirls. I'm sorry. I hate it. It's so depressing.
And okay, Showgirls and Magic Mike.
I like Magic Mike, except for the end where they're like, oh, you have to go straight narrow to like end up with this dumb girl. Yeah. Like, no, come on, get him a cool girl at least.
So more nudity. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, please.
Anyway, thank you so much, Matthew and Jenny, for coming in. You guys can check out Nighthawk Cinema in Williamsburg on Metropolitan Avenue between Wythe and Kent.
Between Wythe and Barry.
Yep. Wythe and Barry. Mm-hmm. It's a really great experience. And Jenny, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Ms. Jenny Miller. MSJENNI Miller. Like the magazine Ms.
Because you're a feminist.
I am. I'm a feminist.
Okay. And then next week, Mike Edison is back from Italy. Can't wait.
Aw, Mike.
Have a great week.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Listeners, we want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awaili, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.